Hey, Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in, and I hope everyone enjoyed the PAX East coverage both here and on the Electric Sisterhood. Due to health issues, Ninja Sister was unable to attend, so it was quite the challenge to cover the entirety of the event on my lonesome, but I managed to do it. 23 articles, 12 interviews, and a lot of great memories with friends in the media realm and developer aspect. And now, we're just a couple of days away from Anime Boston, so be prepared for a lot of coverage from that convention. We will also be hosting the 18-plus game show, Who Cringed Last, on Friday night, early Saturday at 12:30 a.m. in room 302-304, alongside our pals from Wicked Anime. And speaking of Wicked Anime, they'll also be hosting My Waifu Is Not Weird and Hardcore Anime on Saturday night, with Waifu at 7:30 and Hardcore Anime at 11 p.m., both of which will be in room 311. So, a lot to look forward to this year at Anime Boston. With those announcements out of the way, let's dive into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. Today, we're going to start things off with a new track from our buddies Moja. Tomorrow, they released their newest record, Be Quiet, which is the complete opposite of what you'll get from a Moja record. This is the leading track from that album, and it's called Bad Monkey. Cooking,
packing, walking, talking, making, decking, looking, lacking, cooking, packing, walking, talking, making, decking, looking, lacking, packing, packing, walking, talking, talking, making, decking, looking, lacking, cooking, packing, walking, talking, making, decking, looking, lacking, monkey.
Last year's Chasing the Horizon album, that was Man with a Mission with Dog Days. The band recently finished a European tour and has released a new single entitled Left Alive, which may mean a new album could be released within the year. You know, folks, I've been doing this podcast for many years, and even before then as a radio show. And every April, something comes around that puts a spotlight on a topic that's related to something about myself. A thing that I don't often talk about because of a fear of being seen in a different and negative light. Now, you have all known me for years. You've read my works, you've listened to my shows, and you've watched whenever I do a video here and there. So maybe it's time I talk about this thing I have called autism. Now, first off, before I really dive into it, the name of this month needs a total overhaul. Calling it Autism Awareness Month is pretty goddamn redundant, as everyone is already aware that it exists. What it really needs to be called is Autism Acceptance Month, because that's the part that people with autism have trouble finding. Acceptance. Society has done a pretty shit job when it comes to bringing to light positive pieces on people on the spectrum. And it's no thanks to how we're portrayed in pop culture, and especially the awful and horrifying ways that organizations like Autism Speaks demonize people like us. So today, I want to set the record straight. Now, I know I'm a B-graded podcast host and not someone who has an audience as big as someone like Marc Maron or Welcome to Night Vale, but I have a place where I have a platform, and I am going to speak my mind on this thing no matter how many people listen. So please pay attention, because I can only say these sorts of things a couple of times over before I really grow tired of explaining it. One big thing that people need to know is that every single case of autism is different. There isn't just one kind, nor are there a few variations. There are tons of people with tons of different means of living and perceiving the world around them. We have nonverbals, ones with social anxiety, ones with anger issues, ones who are smart, ones who are dumb, ones who can take care of themselves, ones who have to spend their whole lives institutionalized, and many, many more. Some grow up to be doctors and scientists, and there are others who can't hold a job because they can't mentally handle that sort of responsibility. For me, as you can probably guess, I am on what is considered to be the higher functioning spectrum of autism, and I know some people that think the whole spectrum aspect is somewhat archaic, but it's the only way to describe the different kinds without having to create 1,000 different terminologies. I'm able to do a lot and function like your average adult, hold a decent part-time job, and keep focus on various tasks on hand under the Electric Sisterhood and Boston Bastard Brigade. I could write a bunch of articles in a single day with little exhaustion, not to mention have the talents to record, edit, and prepare a bunch of podcasts and videos when I have the focus to do so. But I do have my struggles. I can't drive because it gives me anxiety, and I do have trouble speaking in public at times. I'm always the kind of person who thinks of every path and outcome that a conversation can lead to, and because of that, I sometimes steer clear of chatting to avoid a Murphy's Law situation. It's because of this that I have issues when it comes to dating and making friends. I'm not the type to, you know, walk up to people and introduce myself. I'm the kind of guy that needs people to come and drag me into a conversation. It's a flaw of being autistic, but it's because I'm autistic that I'm able to do just about everything that I do for Esh and B3. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm proud of being autistic, because the flaws that I have are stuff that I am not proud of. What I will say, and I apologize if I sound like an egomaniac when I say this, is that I am proud of the strides I have made despite being autistic. When I was a kid, a doctor told my parents that I'd be lucky to graduate grade school, much less go to college. But my parents met the right people and got me into the right programs to help me fit in and become the person that I am today. In my city, I was the guinea pig that would test out all of the different kinds of therapies and programs that could help someone in a similar situation that I was in. And I hope that the results that I had were helpful to many others. However, there's a major problem that's happening in this country. And that problem is politicians and education boards cutting funds and practically eliminating programs that help out kids that were in my situation. Even worse is the fact that there are no programs for adults on the spectrum to help them get into the working world and the like. I've been to seminars about this sort of stuff, and nobody has an answer for any of it. Always a dead end, never a solution. And it also doesn't help when idiots don't vaccinate their kids because they would rather have them die of a curable disease than be autistic like me. And let me just say, as a reminder, to vaccinate your fucking offspring! My point to all of this is that the general public needs a wake-up call when it comes to how autism should be looked at. This includes spotlighting more than just the low-functioning people for the sake of getting donation money or attempting to win a goddamn Oscar or Independent Spirit Award. There needs to be better representation. And it starts with having a dialogue with people on the spectrum, placing a megaphone to their mouths so everyone can hear them loud, clear, and free from interruption. And if our voices can actually be heard for once, maybe, just maybe, we can find the acceptance that we rightfully deserve. Before I wrap this up, I want to make this clear. These are my opinions. I'm not being coerced by anyone to say these things, nor am I attempting to lump everyone under the spectrum into my umbrella. But these are things that I have been needing to say for years. Stuff that has been piled up due to one frustration after another, be it due to a lack of representation in the mainstream world, or because I'm fucking sick and tired of having people automatically think of the movie Rain Man when fucking autism is mentioned. This is me getting everything off of my chest in the only way I know how, by speaking to you, my listeners. And I honestly hope you take to heart what I have said here. Now, don't worry. This is all the soapboxing I'm going to do on this episode. We're going to talk gaming and anime in just a second. But right now, I really, really want to spin a track that I think is a real punk anthem for the 21st century, as well as an anthem for people who are autistic, disabled, suffer from manic depression, who are raped and are victim blamed, any sort of ailment, and just about anyone who has been wrongfully presented by the mass media. And it's a brand new track from one of my absolute favorite bands, Titus Andronicus. They have a new album coming out on June 21st called An Obelisk, produced by legendary Husker Du frontman and former WCW writer Bob Mould, whom the band toured with recently this past winter. And from An Obelisk, this song is called, well, it's the first three words you hear in this track. So Patrick, take it away.
I'll blame society. Society destroys societies, life is used by saying it.
Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is an interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com, but you are here at ITThinkThisIsGreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I Think This Is Great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Check me out, 내 속도 내가 온도 숙직하게 네 가꾸사 너무 좋아슈대 밖에 해요란 나한테 허이 나의 몬더스나 아리에 헬코도도 와갔대 닦아내 불가부이 땀이와 못대마 도나이니 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 음에요도스테모 아키마헤 너와 나 미에
I'm gonna keep on running.
brand new track from Bandmade. That was Amsan from their surprise EP, Don Maiko. The group released this EP as part of an April Fool's joke, claiming that they were changing the band name and their genre. But for a joke, the EP is surprisingly really good. Now, with this next group, Wednesday Campanella, it's always a great mixture of weird and cool songs. Their latest EP, Yakushima Treasure, is a collaboration with J-pop artist Uru Taichi, and from that record is Shima Meguri. Dangerous Runaway. Their latest album, Transitions, will be in stores on May 24th, and the duo are currently on an American West Coast tour to prep their audience for it. A UK tour will also be happening this June, which will include a co-headlining spot at the Synthwave Live Festival. So while I was at PAX East this year, I stopped over at the Video Games NYC booth. Now, what I like about these guys is that they have a huge selection of import games from all over the world, some of which is translated into English. And as I was perusing the selections, my eyes met with a game that I had been watching from a somewhat safe distance. Dead or Alive Extreme 3. And what made this all the more interesting is that this was the Scarlet version for the Switch that was just released a week before the convention. So for the sake of saying that I own a copy, well, I bought a copy. And the reason why I say this is because Koei Tecmo infamously stated that they would never officially bring Dead or Alive Extreme 3 to the West, stating that our audience probably wouldn't approve of such a game. I had to roll my eyes at such a fact because of how fucking stupid an excuse that is. We've got games like Galgun and Senran Kagura, which all have suggestive material similar to what this Dead or Alive spin-off game claims to offer. So after playing Extreme 3 for, let's say, 2, maybe 3 weeks by the time this airs, I've reached a conclusion. There is zero reason for this game to not be released in the Western world. Is Dead or Alive Extreme 3 sexual? Somewhat, but not really. The girls of Dead or Alive wear revealing bikinis and the like, but that's because they're at a beach resort. Even photo mode, where you can take pics of the girls in the moment, isn't at all risque. You can't pose them like you can in Senran Kagura's diorama mode, and the characters, you know, they just lie around or do random beach things like any normal person at a resort would do. And you can't even undress the girls, nor can you make them do naughty things. I'm not saying this is a complaint, by the way. I'm just stating a fact that it's not as naughty as people claim it to be. If anything, there is less ecchi content here than what you would normally find in a Senran Kagura title. Even when you earn golden tickets to watch the girls do pole dancing, it's no different than seeing like a strip club scene on some network television show. It's actually pretty PG-13 with its content, despite the front of the packaging placing a big 18+ rating on it, along with a warning to sellers not to hand this game to people under the age of 18. Which, by the way, that's the first time I've actually seen that on any Nintendo title. I wound up keeping the plastic wrap just so I could show it to people as proof. You know what, even the swimsuit malfunctions that happen to this game, they're no different from what you'd see in a TV-14 anime. I've seen stuff that's more revealing in Love, Hina than in Dead or Alive Extreme 3. Now, as for the gameplay itself, because it's not just about the naughty stuff, it's about the actual game. As for the gameplay itself in Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Scarlet, it's actually pretty good. Many of the mini-games, such as Tug of War, Volleyball, and Rock Climbing, are legit challenging. The AI in the system is tough, even when facing an easy opponent. There's also some good casino games in there, such as Roulette and Blackjack, although they can get pretty addicting at times. I once had Marie Rose up to like $500,000 in cash, and then 4/5 of it like disappeared from her wallet in the blink of an eye. Despite this, there are two downsides. First, the game is single player only, meaning you can't have a friend join in the butt wrestling and whatnot. The other missed opportunity was for Koei Tecmo to not bring back the jet ski minigame from Extreme 2, which was the most fun one to play. Okay, if you want to add a third gripe, the lack of real big fish in this edition is kind of disappointing, but that's just me being a bit too picky. So here's the question that's now revolving around my head. Was Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Scarlet worth plopping down $90 for? Yes, I paid $90 for this game. And that is something that I can't speak for everyone who's curious about it. For the novelty aspect, I will say that it's worth grabbing. from a gameplay perspective, there is plenty of fun to take part in this game, but I would have rather had paid the usual $60 it costs to buy a video game. And considering that I feel that there really isn't anything controversial about this title, I say that Koei Tecmo kind of screwed the pooch when it came to how it's handled its treatment of the Western audience. With all of this said, I would strongly urge Koei Tecmo to reconsider releasing this game to North America and Europe. Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Scarlet is a lot of fun, and despite its 18 plus rating, it's not at all as naughty as a lot of other video games I've played and reviewed in the past. Hell, if Leisure Suit Larry can still exist in this day and age with no issues, especially with a Switch release of Wet Dreams Don't Dry coming very soon, then this DOA spinoff has no reason to be banned or barred from the Western world. As of now, your only best bet is to grab it from PlayAsia, but if you do see the Video Games NYC guys at a con near you, then by all means grab it from them. They are good peeps, and they have a fantastic selection of imported games you can go through. So, Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Scarlet Edition, I would probably give, you know what? Fuck it. 8 out of 10. Alright, let's head back to the playlist. Here is the latest single from Flower Flower, the group formed by J-pop artist Yui. This particular track takes a lot of inspiration from the likes of Roger Waters and The Swell Season, crafting a singular beautiful song. This is Tomoshiki.
I'm
This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
From her debut EP, Taste My Beat, that was Anna Sucia with T. Taste My Skin. Recently celebrating her 15th anniversary in the music industry, Anna will be performing a selection of festival gigs throughout the summer in Japan. Here is hoping a new album from her will soon be released. Now, this is what we call an ultimate supergroup. They're called Beauty and Chaos, which features guitarist Zach Wild, rapper Ice-T, and a plethora of special guests. A remix album of their record Finding Beauty in Chaos will be released on June 21st under the title Beauty Reinvention. And from that record is the collide mix of Unnatural Disaster.
Count grows, watch news.
17 anime Anonymous Noise. That was In No Hurry to Shout with Allegro. The voice of Nino, Sally Hayami, will be returning to two of her famous roles this spring. Her saga of Tanya the evil character Visha in the mashup Isekai Quartet, and in One Punch Man as Fubuki. And speaking of One Punch Man, man, it is great to finally say it's back. So its first season not only wowed me with just about everything, but it cemented itself as one of the greatest anime series ever made. Fantastic action, amazing comedy, and a plethora of memorable characters. And now, nearly 3.5 years since it premiered, the second season has finally arrived. But not without its share of concern. As many fans know, almost none of the staff from the first season was returning, with production moving from Studio Madhouse to JC staff. For most people, this would be very concerning, with a lot of folks worried about its animation quality after the first season 2 trailer drop. The thing is, I've been a fan of JC staff's work for many years, and know for a fact that they can create a great product when the chips are down. If you want proof, look at their work on Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon and Alice in Zoroku, two recent anime that showcase a lot of care and detail into the animation. So now that the first episode of One Punch Man Season 2 has dropped, and the second episode I think is arriving today as of this recording, I can say that the show seems to be in very good and competent hands. It does take a little bit to get used to the visual aspect, as Season 2 has a bit more of a faded look to it than the first one. But once you see Genos pummeling this giant robot, the action is pretty damn good. Not the same level as Madhouse, mind you, but the fight sequence is impressive nonetheless. However, it is the banter between Saitama and King that keeps One Punch Man's head held high, with King trying to hide his lack of heroism from Captain Baldi. Incredibly funny. The concept of becoming an S-class superhero by sheer coincidence is also good for a laugh, but seeing a seemingly tough guy like King run to the bathroom and nearly shitting his pants in fear, that makes the tone of the season premiere all the more fun. And it's this satirical aspect of One Punch Man that made the first season a true anime classic, not just the action. So, as of this recording, I can safely say that One Punch Man Season 2 will be just as enjoyable as the first. It probably won't be for another 2 or so episodes before we can truly compare it to the first season, but as of right now, color me, well, not impressed. Color me satisfied. You can watch One Punch Man now on Hulu, and hopefully we can expect Viz Media to release a dub by next year. Noisy Cell are back with a brand new EP called Focus, and we're going to spin a cut from that record. This is Humanism. ばかり見定める明晶に潜って乾いた目の玉転げて女のふざけなくなった
ないでこけ落とされ慣れた命、ここではないここにはないこれではないどこにもない一人惑う頑固鳥の歌だだだだ誰一人触れさせないかなる打弱や醜さの群れは一つ残らず優劣などなく無垢なあなた誰になったつもりなのその批評かぶったサマンバーセンジ私という名の鏡の前でどうぞ好きに今待ってた会えないルールバカに舐め続けてきたせいかバカになった下の根引っこ抜いてしまいたいわ、oh.圧倒的独創的天才的かつ客観的なストロリーさあ望み通りお目通りことさら大層な扉の奥と銀の鍵あれどこにあったけたたた誰一人触れられないわゆる正義や意志の類は言葉のコップで手にした回で東を目指せだだだ誰になったつもりもないけど分かってるきっとさ万馬千人飽きもしない味のしない昨日の続き一人捨てられないすなわち情とか愛の類は命の螺旋存在の境界線唯一のあなた誰になったつもりでもただ美しいそんなさまんま戦時まるきれごと探す自分ごと続くいたちごっこ
In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
You never really know it, but gravity.Holding us down. If we block out the madness, then only good things come around. We'll never have much money, but we always manage to buy around. Which makes it kind of funny when we watch the misers with their frowns.You turn these dark skies blue. Ooh. And we can thank the heavens above.
Together we stand, hand in hand.
Together we stand, hand in hand with God.
Together we stand,
And always let this gift set us free. And we'll parade around so shamelessly that we will never be alone. And when people say they're sorry, they'll never look us in the eye. Cause we'll have what they won't have, immeasurable amounts of pride. And you turn these dark skies blue.
Aside from their step-by-step single, that was the Jasmine Minx with Gravity. The band celebrated their 35th anniversary last year and show no signs of slowing down, with a sprinkling of shows planned throughout the springtime. Fingers crossed that, hopefully, a new album may be on the horizon. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at kingbabyduckesh and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Lucky in Love, Beauty and Chaos, and the Jasmine Minx, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. A special thank you to Mike Kalo of Merge Records for the new Titus Andronicus, and Haruhiko Higuchi for the new Moja song. A very special shout out to Your 33 Black Angels, Andy Golden, and Bromide for their contributions to the last 3 weeks of Shameless Tuesdays. Anime Boston is happening this weekend, and you can be a part of Boston Bash Brigade's game show panel, Who Cringed Last, with our wicked anime buddies. Come down to room 302 and 304 before 12:30 a.m. on Friday, early Saturday, and get your name placed in a hat. And if you're lucky, you could participate in one of the most violent and disturbing anime game shows imaginable. I'm super excited to be doing this for a third year, and we've got a hell of a great selection of prizes to choose from. And as for the other two panels from Wicked Anime, well, Andrew, remind our listeners what they are.
Hey everybody, Andrew from Wicked Anime here. And hey, Anime Boston is right around the corner. And if you want to get your 18 plus on for panels, come check us out on Saturday night at 11 p.m. for Hardcore Anime. And hey, maybe Hardcore Anime isn't your thing. Well, we have some other things for you. We have a waifu panel. That's right, My Waifu's Not Weird. Same night, Saturday, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. We hope to see you there.
Thank you, Andrew, and those panels will be held in room 311, because Ember is the color of your energy. Now today, we're going to end things with the latest single from Uberworld. This, of course, served as the opening theme to last year's big anime hit, and Andrew's favorite of 2019 thus far, The Promised Neverland, which was confirmed for a second season. This is Touch Off, and until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. See you all this weekend at Anime Boston at the Heinz Convention Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Seriously, hope to see you there.
Fire.
Fire. Sun of a bandai, sent to battle.
guys, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.